You're listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, episode 447. Hey there, you amazing human, and welcome to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, the podcast that is designed for female entrepreneurs who want to make more money in a way that is in alignment for them. If you're looking for practical advice, proven strategies, and expert insights to help you navigate the challenges of growing your business, then you've come to the right place. Welcome, my friend. I am your host, Angela Henderson, a proud Canadian living in beautiful Australia, and I'm a business coach, consultant, and strategist who has helped thousands of women around the world build successful businesses. Through solo episodes and interviews with successful business owners, industry experts, and thought leaders, you'll get insider insights into what it takes to succeed in today's digital age. Whether you're struggling to scale your business, looking for ways to boost your productivity, or seeking ways to overcome the challenges of being an entrepreneur, this show has everything you need to succeed and more. So subscribe, pop your headphones on, and get ready to creating the business and life you deserve today by allowing the Angela Henderson Online Business Show help you create a winning strategy, develop the right mindset, and build lasting wealth. Hey there, you amazing human, and welcome back to another awesome podcast episode where today we are exploring one of the smartest, most impactful moves you can make to grow and scale your business. And that, my friend, is writing a book. And joining me to unpack exactly how to do this is none other than book coach and publishing powerhouse, Kelly Irvine. Kelly isn't just a best-selling book coach, but she's also the creator of the Expert Author Community, a global coaching experience that has helped launch hundreds of award-winning authors into the world. So whether you've dreamed of writing a book or never even consider it, this episode is going to open your eyes to why a book is so much more than just a business card with a thud value. The real ROI you can expect when you write a book, how a book positions you as the go-to authority in your industry, and why in short form content world, long form writing is your secret brand building weapon. Plus, as always, you know, I dig into a lot more. We'll explore how a book can open doors you didn't even know existed, from media to speaking to high-level collaborations, and the most common mistake business owners make when it comes down to writing a book. So if you've ever thought about writing a book or you're looking for the next big move to scale your business, you're going to want to join in because this is an awesome conversation. Hey, 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 welcome to the show, Kelly.
Thank you, Angela. It's a pleasure to be here. Can't wait for this conversation.
Oh, yes, either can I, because so many of the women that I work with are always looking at fun and exciting new ways to be able to scale their business. And yes, you can use Facebook ads. And yes, you can use organic approaches. And yes, you can use partnerships, all things that I absolutely love. But scaling your business can also be done by writing it, aka a book, which helps position people in so many ways, which we're going to talk about shortly. So first off, I just want to kick off because so many people are always looking for an ROI. What's the ROI if I do this? What's the ROI if I do this? So what's the return on investment? What do you feel in your experience with working with so many authors? What is the true ROI for people when it comes to writing a book to scale their business?
Look, it's a really great question. And I love that you're getting to the hardest question first, because it's often the unspoken question that people have, and it takes them a while and a few guts to get to that one. So I love that we're starting with this one. And it is a tricky answer. It is kind of like one of those things. How can you measure the ROI of a website or like Facebook ads? Obviously, you get data, things like that. Mm. There are certain things in your business where you can get really tangible aspects of your ROI. Mm. And then, of course, there are really intangible ones as well. So I think traditionally people measure a book's success by unit sales, like how many sales and individual copies of books do I sell? And I think that can be really misleading. And there's a massive misconception around the numbers around there out there for authors and for business owners. I think a book success should actually be measured not by sales, but by the impact that it has on readers and the results that you see in your business as a result of that. So tangible aspects of an ROI could be like keynote speeches that you get invited to, workshops that you put together, the number of clients that you sell, like lots of things come off of these tangible aspects. Mm. And then intangible aspects are also like the things I'm looking here behind me. You can't see, I've got this massive bookshelf behind me. Melo Colaco shares quite frequently when he gets an email in his inbox from someone saying, "You just saved my life." So there are tangible aspects and intangible aspects. And I think the hardest thing with a book, in comparison maybe to your smaller pieces, like you said, Facebook ads and sponsorships and things like that, that tend to have perhaps a more defined timeline. The timeline with a book is really longevity. And ROI equally is about that longevity piece. It's the reason why we have books on our bookshelves for years. And all of the data, when you look at best-selling books, things like that, actually, it can take 2 years to get to the point where you sell a million copies or you put some of these things together. And some of those kind of tangible kind of data isn't really honestly shared out there. So I think that can be really hard for people in terms of measuring that ROI. And that's why you really always start with that question around why and what does ROI kind of mean for you, and being able to determine some tangible aspects. Because, in all likelihood, if it really was about money, then really what would be the effort and the time required to sell, let's just say, 5,000 copies of your books and get XYZ versus what would be your time and effort that you invested to sell one keynote speech and get exactly the same cost?
Such good points. And I think this is where people also, in my experience, now I haven't written a book, I'm very upfront about that, but friends of mine have, is that people also need to understand that there are short-term ROI and long-term ROI also in writing a book. And that also with writing a book, and the ROI also comes with how are you going to continue to market it? And we can talk about that later on in the piece, because if you have a book and you go really hard on a launch and you do nothing with it after, well, you can't expect it. It's like a lead magnet. You can't just expect it to continue to get leads if you're not doing anything with it to promote it, right? So short-term and long-term ROI are also things that I encourage people, if you're looking at writing a book, to consider, because you can't just plant the seeds and expect to be able to pick the fruit. It just doesn't work like that.
Oh my
So
God, you're just speaking my language.
it just doesn't. But yeah, people do. And there's so many people that I know that have books and they say, and some of the reasons why it still does so well is they continue to have it in their ongoing doing funnels. They're continuing it to bring it to different speaking events. Like, it's not something that you can just get rid of. But speaking about speaking events and things like that, when you think about you go to a speaking event and you've got a business card, right? But a business card can get lost, it can get thrown away, it can whatever. So I'm curious to know what your thoughts are. Why is a book much more than just a business card?
Yeah, great question. And it also touches on something I want to come back to, which is what you were talking about before, which is really the value being in the process of it. So, back when I started, like a long time ago, I think we've sort of moved on a little bit, but there used to be a big conversation about you should write a book to position yourself as the expert. It's a business card with thud value. And when they talked about thud value, it's that you walk into a room and you imagine throwing your book onto a desk. And it has that sound when it hits the desk. The issue with that, when we talk about, is that you're talking about a book as a marketing tool. And of course, it is a marketing tool, but it's actually way more than that. It is a product. It is a product of you, your knowledge, your expertise, everything you do, and it sits in the ecosystem of you. So through the process of writing a book, it will change and influence how you speak about yourself, how you sell yourself, what packages you put together, what workshops you put together, how you brand yourself, what keynote speeches, what you take to conferences, all of that type of stuff. So it's actually ecosystem that you are creating, and your book is like the beating heart of your ecosystem.
Can also just speculate here that if you think about it, treating it like a product, is that the reality of it is it's just like it's a low product cost point, right? So people who might not want to pay for high-end coaching yet or join a mastermind like I have, or even go on a retreat, they're like, you know what, but I still want to learn from Angela, or I still want to understand how her brain works, or I still want to be able to get some insight. It's another way for people to start paying you with their credit card, even if it's a small micro commitment, to be able to then get them into that funnel and then further into your ecosystem. And then they do buy something. So I love how you framed that from a product, because I would be working with clients around where does this sit within your ecosystem and where does it sit on your value ladder in order to ensure the funnel flows accordingly.
And also, Angela, just to that point, like it's a low cost investment for somebody else, but it actually has a really ridiculously high ROI investment in terms of engagement for you and your customer. So the brilliant thing about books that I think people don't really get is we talk about now about having multiple touch points with people, all of that kind of stuff. It takes a lot of work. You've got to talk to people multiple times. You've got to give them this, that, all of this stuff. A book can actually skip steps. So it can skip some conversations in sales. And I see this a lot with people who may be selling into organizations, for example. They might have a workshop or might be going along to do some kind of conference or something. When you have a book, it shows someone, it's like way more than a brochure, right? People read your brochure and they know what you are. When they read or even flick through your book, they can see how you help people. I can see exactly what you're going to do when you come in and run your workshop with me. And so that is really the benefit and the power in the content in there, because it's a really deep well of content and your expertise that you can't get in other kind of forms.
And you just mentioned a keyword there, their expertise. So, how, in your opinion, does a book help position a business owner as the go-to authority in their particular industry then?
Oh, I love this question. And one example, I'll give you a really good example because I think examples really help spell it out.
Absolutely.
So I've been working with an author, Donna McGeorge, for, I don't know, 10 years or something now. She's written multiple books in all different forms and facets. And one of the first books that we worked on is called The 25-Minute Meeting. So when we started this book, there was no data out there saying you should meet in 25 minutes. All the data says we meet too long, everybody hates meetings, they're boring, they're unproductive, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But there was no real data saying 25-minute meet is the optimum time. So she created that conversation and created the argument for it. So the 25-minute meeting became a thing because of the book. And I look at it on my bookshelf now. It's like incredible because it actually made like a concept that she was using, a real thing with a real framework for people. That then enabled to position her as this productivity expert. And she was invited not just to run things on meetings, but all kinds of productivity because of the multiple pain points that she would hit on. That also generated like leads in ways that you just wouldn't even think of at the start. So she talks about scoring a $100,000 contract just based on walking into a room with someone and someone had read that book and was like, oh, we need you to run XYZ. Can you do this? And so, again, it's a really good example of tangible and intangible aspects of a book, but the positioning piece is massive. And we do talk about like one of our first steps when we're talking about books is understanding the strategy behind it. And that's really important. A really good strategic move for people can be to really make, first of all, make your mark. It's about codifying your expertise, your knowledge. Like in that example, make your thing a thing, popularize it, make your mark on it. Equally, what can happen is our positioning grows or it tweaks or we shift and we change. So for some people, especially people who may be beginning out in businesses or they've been in business for a while and they're looking to pivot or they're known for something, but they actually want to be known for something else. It might be like an adjacent thing, but they've got to try and unpick and re-educate their audience in terms of what their thing is. A book is a great product in order to do that because you have to forward think. Like a book is a long term, it's a long term thing, right? You're not going to get it out tomorrow, not if you want it to be any good. All right. There's production timelines. You've got to write the thing. So you need to be able to judge where you're at now and who you serve and your problems are that you solve, while also thinking about what am I actually going to do with this thing when it's in my hands in 6 months' time? And who do I want to be in 6 months' time? So you, it forces you to think through where you're at and where you want to be in order to position yourself as that authority in that field when the time is right for you to have that book in your hands.
And it is true, writing a book takes time. It's again, not a just quick strategy that you can be like tomorrow and then it's done, right? And so I like how you talked about the forward thinking, be able to understand where your book is now, but where it is once it's actually in your hand is going to be so strategically important for scaling your business. Because if you haven't thought about or haven't planned out what your goals are, and I'm not saying you have to plan out 9 years down the road, that's a bit much, I think, but you need to be able to still forward think. So what a great insight to be able to bring that into.
Yeah. And I think people can get stuck here because they think, oh my God, I don't know where I want to be in 6 months' time. Or what if I want to go and do something else? Like in my experience, I've worked with hundreds of authors in all different fields, all different kind of capacity industries. You never, like, everything is always interrelated and you never, like, nothing ever gets forgotten. Everybody knows you start somewhere and then you move on. They're stepping stones. That's also why people don't just write one book. They always come back for a second, a third, a fourth, or fifth. Because once you've been through the process, one, you get that ROI. You actually have those intangible results to see, like data at your fingertips. But two, it is a stepping stone. Once you've been through it once, you're kind of like, oh, now this is the book that I need to write next. This is the one that's going to propel me to the place that I need to go to next. So you're always iterating as you go, and you will always have this stockpile of incredible content with real depth behind you for or through all the years that you continue to scale your business.
And also people will continue to evolve. I've evolved so much from my first business to this business and now into our third business, the Healing Center of Australia. And so what I would have talked about 5 years ago is very different because I've evolved, I've learned more, I've been around the block more to what I would talk about now. And I can only imagine that in 10 years' time, the book that I write then would be very different again. So it's like, I could see how it's, I wouldn't say an addiction, but once you understand the processes, it becomes something that you're like, well, this just seems like a no-brainer. I've got something else to say. I've got an audience to say it to. Let's rock and roll.
Yeah, definitely.
You mentioned a minute ago content, and I do want to talk a little bit about short form and long form content, because, you know, in the world we're in, it is very much driven by short form content, right? Quick, bite-sized pieces, etc. Also, our capacity to pay attention is different than it has ever been before. But why is long form writing crucial for building our business and our brand?
Yeah, look, it's a great question. This is a kind of a newish topic that I'm really passionate about because we are putting a lot of focus on short form content. There's a lot of noise out there. Everybody's using AI, you know, get regular, do you know? And I'm not discrediting any of those things at all, but there is a massive difference between and purpose for short form content versus long form content. And a big part of this is that process piece and that positioning piece that we talked about. So we don't want to devalue words. Like words are so freaking powerful. And if you look at back in the day when books were first around, like they were burned. Like books are so valuable. They were burned out of fear of how that would influence people in society. So ideas, you know, that we're bringing into society that shows you how valuable and how influential that they can be. The thing with long form content and the big difference between long form versus short form is depth. So when you work on long form content, you can't stick to superficial concepts. You can't stick to 20 this or 30 that or snippets of information that get digested in 20 seconds. You need to pick a concept and go deep on that concept. You need to actually transform people who are reading that concept. And that is the key difference. And so when you are working through the process of a book, that's what you're learning to do. You are learning to look at your expertise and your knowledge through the lens of how do I take that, transform it into words and actually shift and move people, influence them on the other side. It requires depth. It requires you to be you. It requires vulnerability. It requires stories. So when you marry all that together, what we're really talking about is connection and engagement on that on a much deeper level than somewhere where you're seeing someone, you know, oh, this person's doing really well because I see them multiple times a day, or I saw a question that this person posed, or things like that. So they have two really different purposes, and the depth is something you really, really need, especially if you're scaling a business, because of that positioning piece. Everybody's a leadership coach. Everybody works in health or is talking about perimenopause. There are multiple people sharing similar topics as you. You need to work out what makes you unique and different in that marketplace. And you need to be able to transform that into a depth that is really, you know, makes you stand out compared to other people. That's how people scale businesses.
And listen, I think there too is, like, in a world where people's brains are functioning at a rate so much faster than ever before, that you can write the best type of content online. You could write a blog article, you could do all those things, but I feel it's getting lost in the noise at the moment. It's just kind of like, oh, if you don't have a really great hook or a really great photo, or you're not playing by the rules of what Instagram wants with the algorithms, and the story's got to be like this, you're spending all these hours writing, but it's not getting out there. Whereas I feel, and this is just my opinion, is that a book allows you to have those, like you said, depth and that transformation. And when people pick that book up, they're going to, right? They're going to stop and intentionally pick it up, sit down, pour a glass of wine, get a coffee or a cup of tea, and read it versus continuing to scroll. That is powerful.
Yeah. And I think there's a couple of points in there, Angela. I think also, like, when they read your content, what do they do?
So oh, it depends.
With books,
yeah.
There's really, like, in depth, like, you're really taking people on a journey, and it's very intentional. And I think that transformation is kind of ingrained in the writing and the process for someone. And I know that the argument is, but does anyone ever actually sit down and read a book cover to cover these days? It doesn't matter. If they only read your introduction and one chapter, they've learned a hell of a lot more about you than they did from 10 posts you did
Absolutely.
Last week and then forgotten about. And that's the crux. It doesn't matter. People will take what they want. People do. People are time poor. The data says a lot of people buy a book, but they'll also buy the audio book because they're listening to it in the car. So I think we need to get over ourselves a little bit and stop worrying about that so much. The other thing also is, the benefit of a book is, because it is long form, once you've got that content, you've got so much short form content that you can repurpose from that book. Media articles, blog posts, LinkedIn, Instagram, whatever you want, you've got that big body of work that you can repurpose elsewhere. You can't do that elsewhere the other way around. So some people will come to me and they'll say, oh, I've got, you know, all these blog posts, and I want to take 20 of my best blog posts, turn that into a book. And it's okay, you can do that. You can just stick a cover on it, but you've got to make sure that there is a logical, clear theme and argument. Blogs and content short form, they're all different things. So you need to make those work. And it's a lot harder to take short form and turn it into long form than it is to write long form and then leverage the hell out of that work in as many places as you can.
And I know for me, I'm all about that, because I'm like, even with the podcast, how can I take the podcast, turn that into a newsletter, turn that into a social media post or whatever? There's just, it saves me so much time. I just have to do one thing, and then so many other pieces come from it, right? So I adore that, because who isn't all about saving time? But one of the other things that I do want to talk about, because we've talked about a few things, and I'm going to assume here, because I do my own events and things like that, but I've gotten my events and then keynotes off of other events, and do you know what I mean? Just because of my visibility, not because of a book. But I can only, again, imagine if I had a book, that there would be even more doors and more opportunities that wouldn't have been there if I didn't have the book. Other speaking, collaborations, media. Is that your experience and what you've seen? Or have you seen something else? Like, yeah, how can a book open doors to opportunities that they may not have had previously?
Yeah, a really good point. And a couple of things there. I do hear from people a lot of the time, if you are up against 10 other speakers at an event, quite often the person with the book will get picked over somebody else. Now, I don't know, I'm not on that circuit. I don't know how much weight to give to that, but I do hear it a lot. The thing is though, and here's what I do hear. I have an author, Sherrinjan Jenrich, and she was in Australia and she'd been working for this US company for quite a while. She wrote a book. As soon as her book was published, the company not only offered her a job, but they headhunted her. She moved to New York City, where she now runs a primetime breakfast TV show, interviewing other health experts and things like that.
So cool.
So there's two things in this. One was the book gave her immediate credibility, but also that how piece. They knew exactly who she was, what she offered, that type of thing. The second thing, and this is the most interesting piece that she shared, her role now when she is picking interviewee is they need to have a book. But it's not necessarily the credibility piece. What it is about is people who have undergone long form writing, book content, and have that book content there, know how to structure their ideas, get to their message really quickly, share sharp, succinct, and communicate in a really strong way and have a really strong message. And that's what the book is about. So I love that story because it demonstrates the value of what it helps you achieve. And also the fact that she was headhunted as soon as that book was out. Another really great example is Denise Collazo. So she's one of my US authors, and she wrote a book a long time ago called Thriving in the Fight. It's very specific to a really specific audience, to Latina women. So she works for a social enterprise, she's what I call a social justice warrior. And she had been knocking on this organization's door for years, trying to raise funds and hearing nothing, got nothing back. She wrote a book. The organization came to her and she ended up getting a $20 million US dollar donation from this organization just
so
based
cool.
off of her expertise, her credibility, and everything that book did. I think we need to think bigger and beyond some things. Like, this is what's hard. Opportunities are really hard to see. That's why they're opportunities, right? They're not necessarily things that we might set our mind to. They will come out of nowhere for different reasons. And that's something that we see once you become an author all of the time.
And those, again, are like some of the things that you're bringing up are things that, like you said, we might be playing small or only thinking that it's this way. But it's like, these are the things that, like, again, leveraging. But at the same time leveraging, I want to ask a question around impact, because impact and legacy, I know with a lot of the women that I work with, is a very key theme. Because once you go past the startup stage and once you get past that growth stage and you start to enter that scale stage and money flows a little bit easier and you've got your team in place, you do start thinking about, and I can tell you almost every person thinks about this, what will people say when I'm at my funeral? Have I gotten my words out? Do people know, have I actually done everything I can to help people transform or to be better humans or insert whatever that is for you as a person who wants to become an author? What is your thoughts about how does a book allow individuals to not necessarily scale their business as in like revenue wise, but to scale their impact?
Yeah, and I think you could take this in different forms. Impact for some people is that legacy piece. Legacy is huge. Being able to leave whoever is around you with the tools, the expertise, the knowledge, the wisdom, all of that hard won stuff that only you have in your lifetime, being able to pass that on to other people to help other people is massive. And that is for a lot of people, that's what impact is about. I was thinking about this the other day. I have a method for writing books called the Write Book Method. And I was thinking, if I'm not around, like, where does that go? If I'm not here to drive it, like, where does it go? Having that in a book is what gets passed on through generations, to different people, people that you've never even heard of, that kind of stuff. I think impact can mean different things for different people. And ultimately, the thing that I think with authors, and the majority of my authors are business owners, entrepreneurs, very much like your listeners here, we want to know that our work has meant something.
Yes.
You know, we're leaving the world in a better place than, you know, than it was. That we have done something meaningful with, you know, with our lives, with our knowledge, with who we are, with who we have interacted with. And that's a really, you know, that's a really great thing that shouldn't be undervalued. And books are incredible for being able to pull those resources into one place to pass on to people. It's kind of like that example that I shared at the start about Melo Colarco. So he shared a couple of different posts. One, and his book is on burnout. So one, he, you know, was at a conference once and someone approached him. And ultimately, after this conversation, you know, it was about, you know, you just saved my life. He's received emails around that. I was in a really bad space. Then I read this, did that, blah, blah, blah. Thank you so much. And that's a common theme. Like I remember Cassie Goodman sharing something like that as well. In a lot of ways, what I see with authors is once you get that one email, that one DM, that one whatever it is telling you, you just changed my life, all of the time, effort, and money it took to get to that place in the book fades away. It's like almost insignificant. It's like, yes, and now I'm going to do it again.
Yeah, absolutely, because there's power in that. And also, who doesn't want their heart to skip a beat? Who doesn't want their heart to smile a little bit more because they have made that impact? And I also think in our world today where, and I hear this all the time, not think it, I hear it, where people are like, oh, only 50 people join my webinar. Well, if you stood in a room with 50 people, that's a lot of people. We minimize the impact that we have because we see someone that's got 2 million followers. Well, look at them. And there's all this comparison. And I'm like, but it's that impact. And I'm like, there's a quote, I can't remember how it goes. Like, I can't change the world, but I can change one person at a time. And I can only imagine that that's what books can do. Again, I'm not an author, but that's what books can do for you. You know,
is we talk about reach a lot. Cause ultimately when people start writing and you're like, you know, why are you writing? What do you, you know, what's your ultimate goal? Everybody wants reach, right? They want to expand their profile, you know, scale their business, all of those things. It's about reach. And there's a picture that I show people where, you know, in a lot of people's mind, you put reach in the middle and you have all these dots around it. And that to people is reach. You keep adding dots and that's reach. But actually what you need to do is you need to connect all those dots.
Dots, yes.
That's what reach is. It's a web. It's being interconnected. It's relationship building. It's all of these crucial things. And that starts with one person. It starts with you 50 people in a room. And I think, you know, and I think this is the issue with us looking so heavily at short form content at the moment. Noise, more volume, more frequency, more consistency, more. Instead of looking at, but who's next to you? Who really needs your help and what's the one thing you can sell them to help move them. We need to silo ourselves off. I often hear, you know, everybody always talks to me about James Clear. Oh, I want to write like Atomic Habits, or, you know, I want my book to be like that. I'm like, yeah, but James Clear, like he's a professional writer. Like that's what he does.
And
he's
done
it for years.
Yes.
And multiple things before that book that you don't know about. It's one piece in front of another in front of another. We're really quick to look for those, the fast hack, or how do I get there quicker, you know, all of those types of things without actually noticing the years that went into and the body of work behind it.
So true.
And so that's what we really, you know, your impact, you just need to start with one person. And when you start with one person, somebody else will take, you know, will be influenced by that.
Yes.
And then someone else, and then someone else. And it's a network. And yeah, it takes, like you said, it does take time and consistency, but time and consistency in the right way, in that depth of building those relationships.
Oh, that's great. And I'm all about your network. Your network equals your net worth. And a book is going to help you to open up not only your existing network, but new networks to come. Now, mistakes. I know there will be a listener, 2, 3, 4, 10, 20 out there going, you know what? I really am getting starting to get curious about being able to write a book. But they're like, again, where do I start? What do I do? So I just want to ask, what's the most common mistake you see business owners make when they write a book to support and scale their business?
Well, there's quite a few, but I think all of them come back to that understanding the foundational aspect of a book. So everybody thinks that writing a book starts with writing. And that couldn't be more further than the truth. So if you write a book, then you think about, okay, what am I going to do with it next? I think I'm going to have to hire an editor, you know, blah, blah, blah. What you're actually doing is you're starting to work from you. Now, somebody has to work with you to treat all the issues that are wrong with the manuscript.
Yeah, yeah.
So you start early and start with prevention. And it's kind of like building a house.
Uh-huh.
When you build a house, you need to have a floor.
Uh-huh.
Need to be connected to electricity, water. You're going to start with, you've got to have at least one bathroom, one toilet, like the basics.
Yes.
But I think people get thrown by the sexy stuff. You know, they want to decorate the walls and get that yellow fancy couch that they saw online, you know, things like that. So we start bringing in all these things and focusing on all of that stuff instead of actually understanding what are the foundational aspects that are going to make the book strong. And so people launch way too fast into the writing component, thinking that they have to have it all worked out. I need to know exactly what my idea is. I need to just write that down. I need to have a title. And they'll launch really too quickly into that without actually first understanding, okay, what makes a book? What are the strategic components? What does looking at publishing entail? You know, where is my book going to fit in the market? And some really basic fundamentals, first and foremost. And that's what makes the book process so much easier and faster when you actually understand those fundamentals.
And I love that you're speaking my language now, because I always say, I was just on a discovery call today with someone, and I said, when women work with me, the very first thing I do, even if you've scaled a business, is I still will want to review your foundations, those fundamental pieces, because if your business is made out of sticks or hay, it's not going to take much for it to crumble. And I need to build a business of bricks. I need to make sure that everything is solid off of one thing after another, because if you don't do that and you just focus on, you know, putting a roof on and the walls aren't, do you know what I mean, been passed by inspection, for example, shit's going to go bad real soon. So I love that that's the approach that you also take with creating a book. You must understand the fundamentals. And because if not, shit's going to go bad. Your book probably won't sell. You'll then wonder, you'll say, oh, and this lady on the podcast, Kelly, said I should do a book, and I did a book and it didn't work. Well, yeah, because you probably tried to ChatGPT that shit. Do you know what I mean? And then you wonder why it didn't work, which goes on to, speaking of ChatGPT, what are your thoughts about everyone becoming a fucking author? Do you know what I mean? And everyone all, yeah. Tell me your thoughts about ChatGPT in the world of writing a book. Good, bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, look, I mean, AI is AI, right? It's it's not this evil big thing. Like, it's a tool. At the end of the day, ChatGPT and other AI, like, they're just tools that we should be learning and can use to help us with our work. But ultimately, you can never leave the tool to be the driver.
Yes.
Right? It should not be running the show. My big argument about ChatGPT or Claude in particular is that to get it to work really effectively on your content, you have to train it. Right? It's like a Tamagotchi or something. Right? You have to train it in your words, your wisdom, and your thoughts.
Yes.
So you actually need to producing your own original content in order to train this thing to be you. And I think people are really missing the point of that. So they're just skipping these steps altogether in that fast race to use it. So we know as authors, there are right ways to use it and there are wrong ways to use it. It's awesome for research. It's awesome for helping you nail down something or other. But we all know, we all use it. How often do you actually let it do something and then you don't rephrase it slightly or change something? People know there's a big difference between, and I think this is one of the key differentiators with writing, is voice and personality and all of those things that make you you. There are certain things that, you know, these kind of tools and technology, they're going to be able to get you so far. But they're not you, and you need to make sure that you're refining. The thing is, and the thing that I really teach and kind of reframe people to understand as well is writing's just writing in a lot of ways. I think people take it way too seriously and put a lot of more emphasis on it than it needs to be. Like a first draft is a first draft.
Yes.
Real value and the thing that we need to be focusing on is rewriting. That is where all of our skill and our impact lays. Being able to rework, re-edit, rewrite your own work. Authors will tell you this all the time. I think, you know, there's a misconception that you just sit down at the desk and like James Patterson just bangs out his, you know, 198th book. That doesn't happen. It's drafting, it's rewriting, it's reworking. And so these tools can definitely help us in ways, but you should never, ever, ever let it dictate the show. And when it comes to publishing now as well, you know, when you upload to Amazon, you have to, you know, say how much you've used AI and things like this, like tools for uploading, tools for publishing, they're just going to get smarter. They're being trained to pick up this stuff. So you really want to be, you know, putting out, you know, your original work, like your own thoughts and your own experience and expertise. And that's something that these tools can't do.
And one of the things people are saying, they go, Ange, when are you going to do a book? And the funny thing is because of my ADHD is I script every one of my podcasts. So I have 7 years of podcast scripts. Do you know what I mean? That is my brain on my thing. I was like, I don't think a book would be as hard as I think it is. Do you know what I mean? Because I've already written 7 years of weekly content, you know? So I think that there's some ways that ChatGPT could help create a framework, for example, do you know what I mean? And I'd still want to pay someone like you guys to help me out. But what I'm saying is like, it could give someone a starting point. And I think sometimes people just need starting points to see that it's an option, because sometimes we're just like, where do we begin? What do we do? This is too overwhelming. Oh, put in the too hard basket and go. So for those people that are like, maybe feeling that way, where do I start? What do I do? How do I know if this is a viable option for me to do right now to scale my business? Where can listeners connect with you to start exploring creating that book?
I'd actually love to invite people to have a go at a tool I use. And so some of you may be familiar with it, but we call it a book screening canvas. It's really quick. It's really effective and easy to do. You do it in 15 minutes. It's like 9 questions. You map it out on a page. It's for all learning styles. If you have multiple ideas, you do it again. You can do it multiple times. But the biggest thing that we hear that this helps with is actually like where authors get stuck is how do I take what's in my head and put it on a page?
Yes.
So this tool helps you do that in 15 minutes. And the feedback that I get is, oh, I never realized that I had so much to say, or I actually do have X, Y, Z. And so, yeah, I would love to invite people to have a go and see what that does, because the likelihood is that you do have multiple books in you, and you should never be scared about what that means in terms of how you're going to do something. So I work with people with all different learning abilities and capacities, a lot of people with ADHD, you know, all of that type of stuff. There's no one way or one size fits all approach for writing a book, but it is about understanding that there can be, and there's a method in the madness. So we talk about improv acting a lot. You know, improv acting, you know, you stand on the stage, people rock up, and then suddenly this thing comes together. No, there's a method behind it that allows you the spontaneity in the moment to stand up. So the book screening canvas can be downloaded from kellyirving.com/canvas. And yeah, you will be presently surprised, I would hope, by the sheer majority of ideas that you have and what already is a great structure and formation for putting something into the form of a book.
Oh, that sounds very intriguing and super fun. Can you give us the URL again?
It's kellyirving.com/canvas.
All right. Well, I encourage each and every one of you who feels that inkling that a book is in you, and we all have a book inside each and every one of us, to head there and check that out. 15 minutes, you deserve that, because as we start to go into the last quarter of 2025, we're starting to already think about our goals for 2026. And for some of you, a book may be on that wish list. Now, Kelly, before we wrap up, I've got one final question, because this has been an amazing and informative episode. But looking back on your business journey, what do you know now that you wish you knew when you first started out in business?
Oh gosh. I think for me, I wish I'd worried less, to be honest.
Yes, good one.
Like every business is just a journey. And it is very much like book writing. It's just one step in front of another. And problems will arise and you'll work out ways to solve those problems. You'll set goals that, you know, you never dreamed possible. I spent last year, I went away for a year with my family. It was a family first trip. And my goal was to work 20 hours in the whole year. And people are like, you mean a week, right? And I'm like, no, the year.
Yep.
Setting big, audacious goals, it doesn't actually necessarily matter about the outcome. It's the process and what that goal allows you to do where the magic happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really wish for me that I had been bolder, braver, and yeah, I would stress less or worry less, because where you're at now is where you're meant to be. And all it takes is one step in front of the other to get to the next phase.
Dude, I love that. How juicy is that? And yes, that those audacious goals are so important. And what a fabulous thing to be able to spend a year with your family and just being like, yep, I'm working 20 hours total for the entire trip. I adore that. That is so awesome. Now for you, you amazing listener, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you have a beautiful day. And I strongly encourage, if that book is burning inside of your soul, make sure you head to Kelly's URL that she had said. I will also link that to the show notes so that you guys can also easily access that over at angelahenderson.com.au. But thank you, Kelly. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your wisdom. And I can't wait to see more books, more legacies come to light. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Angela. Pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, www.angelahenderson.com.au.